And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week at the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Woo! Hey, everybody. Welcome to Gravel Talk, episode 126. AC Riley here with Nick Regner and Jesse Von Ruden. Make sure to follow us on our social media accounts, facebook.com/thegrappletalk, where you can stay up to date on all the Midwest independent wrestling that we can find coming up each and every weekend. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, @thegrappletalk, where we will post results for shows that we're attending or that other people that we know are attending, to post to the Indie Power Rankings. And just make sure to just follow us in general, because, you know, we like to talk about wrestling. We like to talk about Midwestern independent wrestling, and we just like to have a good time.
Even though most of the show is going to be dictated to talking about other things besides Midwest wrestling this week, you did a very good job with the intro. Now, did you actually sit down in front of the mirror and cut that promo repeatedly until you actually had it memorized? Or
have you been outside our house recently?
No.
Have you just been like, oh, that, so that's what he's doing? Because that's actually spot on. That's what I've been doing.
No,
like, I try to keep it down, because usually it's like in the morning when I'm getting ready, and I get it ready at like 3:30, and, you know, they're sleeping, so I don't want, you know.
I can't tell if you're being serious. Like, I actually think you might do that. So I don't know.
Was it believable?
I think hearing AC Riley practice the intro to Grapple Talk in front of the mirror is actually a believable statement.
So here you are brushing your teeth with your electric toothbrush, so you're keeping your hand stones just going.
That was good.
That was good.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Anyways.
Interesting.
Oh, I never knew how you did it, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, so to speak. But that's enough about my personal life. Jesse, a lot of stuff to talk about that we were planning on discussing this week, and I'll let you take the helm, because you were the one that introduced it, and you seem to be more knowledgeable on it than we.
Well, you know, when we start this group chat, like around like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, because we usually kind of just wait it, you know.
Cause,
like,
wing
the
it.
Yeah, well, like the wrestling world kind of revolves really quickly. So, of course, you got Monday Night Raw. And then SmackDown on Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, you got NXT and stuff like that. But a lot of things come down the pipeline. So if we record the episode, let's say, on a Monday, we might miss out on a whole week of wrestling stuff.
Good point.
So when you asked us, hey, what do you want to talk about this week? One of the things that actually popped up right after we talked about what we're going to talk about this week.
I think maybe like 5 minutes afterwards.
Possibly. It was a Forbes.com article about Lucha Underground actually striking up a partnership with Turner Broadcasting to actually broadcast their show on a Turner Broadcasting service, but in Germany,
yep.
Which was kind of the weird hook about the article, because, like, the way you actually read it was like, hey,
yep.
Turner's getting back into the game,
yep.
But only in Germany. So, guys, I know you've been to Germany. You don't give two shits
there.
About Germany. So how does this
You have Lucha Underground DVDs.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but he doesn't give a shit about Germany.
Yeah.
But
have
does this really
those?
Affect yeah. Lucha Underground, and how does this affect maybe their plans going forward?
The cool thing about Lucha Underground is, obviously, you know, a couple of months ago, it was one of the probably hottest products in the wrestling industry. You know,
mm-hmm.
Aside from NXT, it was a great alternative to WWE. The way that they shoot things, it's almost like a high-octane drama with wrestling included. It was a kind of a good sell in that sense. Plus, the action on it was awesome, and you had Prince mm-hmm. Puma on there, who's becoming one of the best, you know, wrestlers in the entire world at this point,
yeah.
I would say. Ricochet, you know.
Yep.
What other people
Wait.
Know by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're the same guy.
Fourth wall.
They're the same guy.
Yep.
But yeah, first things first, formally working in news, I do want to say that all the headlines regarding this were extremely just inaccurate, because
misleading
is
yes.
the right term there. There we go. Yeah, because right when I clicked it, I was like, oh, what? No
yeah.
way. Now it's going to be available, because, you know, now I'm waiting for Dustin every season for the DVD to come out, you know, because right now I don't have the El Rey Network. I don't know how to access
mm-hmm.
that, and that's how I usually watch them. Yeah, so being in Germany, I mean, this is a good step forward for them. I mean, this is like their opportunity, I guess, more or less, to try to broadcast what it is that they're doing nationwide. We talked about it a little bit before we started recording, and I want to let Riley talk here in a sec, but one thing that I want to make sure that I say is I really do think, along with you, Jesse, that a streaming service would be the best thing for them, striking a deal
mm-hmm.
with like Hulu, like we
yep.
like we thought we heard about a few months ago, would be great for them, just because, you know, then obviously they're available to anybody and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to think, you know, I think I guess I don't know exactly where it is that the WWE's terms are with Hulu. I know that eventually they'd like to do what they're doing on Hulu on the network, but they're making money from Hulu. But if that deal ever falls through, maybe there'll be something available for Lucha there. But maybe Hulu's just kind of happy with what they have through the WWE right now.
Yeah, and I kind of building off of what you were saying about those articles, they were very much clickbait because, like, you see the headlines, you're like, oh, wow, I want to figure out about what's going on. And then you see it's like, oh, hey, just kidding. It's actually this, you know, read the fine print here. And then it's like, all right, I don't.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. It's interesting, though, because if it is allowing Lucha Underground to broadcast on a Turner network in Germany, it's a great benefit here for the fans in Germany because, like, the wrestling in Germany is a hot topic. Like, even though, like, there isn't a ton of wrestling that goes on there. Like, to my knowledge, the only promotion that wrestles in Germany on a consistent basis is Alex Wright's WXW Federation.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's really non-existent. There's the occasional tours, you know, when WWE goes worldwide or anything, of course. But, I mean, as far as, like, wrestling in that area, there's really not a lot. I mean, they get the rebroadcast of SmackDown and, you know, in the German sync, you know, in the dub and everything. And so, like, it seems like, you know, when I was in Germany and I would talk about wrestling, there were fans of wrestling. They were like, oh, wow, wrestling? Oh, man, I watched SmackDown all the time. It's great. So, like, I feel like catering to the audience that really wants to see it, like, that will be something. You turn on the German wrestling fans to a different style of wrestling that they're not really familiar with seeing. Like, sure, they've seen Rey Mysterio. They've seen Cruiserweights back in, like, 2002, 2004 area. But, like, they're not seeing what Lucha Underground has been, so it's a nice treat for them. But like you guys were saying, streaming would be a better network for Lucha Underground because you're not just catering to one audience that will probably appreciate it. You're catering to everybody that's going to appreciate it.
Well, and look what Lucha Underground did in the United States. I mean, it could do the exact same thing that it did in Germany. I mean, everybody had a little bit of a taste of that Lucha style with WCW when they started their cruiserweight division, or if, you know, you wanted to go back to watching tapes and things like that and getting stuff from Mexico and seeing how some of the things were done in the South. But that can really, I think, benefit Germany because as far as I know, I guess, I don't know what it's like I've never been to Germany. I don't know what, you know, what they like watching over there. And obviously right now, the ability to go out on the internet and find and watch any sort of style that you want is pretty easy, but it just makes it more accessible. But I mean, one of the reasons I feel like Lucha Underground was so successful right away here in the States was because it's just something that's very different than anything else that we've
had. It was underground. It was that kind of like
it's a name.
Yeah, it's exactly. Part of the name, but
you
at the same
really
time,
reach for that one. Way to go, man.
I tried really hard for that, but it's like it's that underground style. It's that, you know, it's different. It's not what the, you know, mainstream wrestling is that you see everywhere else. So I think it was, you know, when it came off, you know, to the media, to the masses, so to speak, you saw it and it was different. And then it was just like, it wasn't WWE, it wasn't TNA, it wasn't NXT, it was something different. So then I felt like it catered to the group that wanted to see something different. And then it's like, here it is. Here's something completely different. Here's Lucha wrestling mixed with like a drama, you know, type of thing. So you think that it might be actually a drama show, but in reality, it is a wrestling show.
So in essence, what AC Riley is saying is people that like Lucha Underground are also people that are most likely voting for Donald Trump.
Thank you for translating.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say basically Lucha Underground is Def Jam Vendetta as a TV show because it's about the same thing.
AC Riley opened it to interpretation.
Good for Lucha Underground. Not so good for fans who want to see him on a regular basis here in the States who do not have
waiting.
Like the El Rey Network. Let me
ask you this though: is that if it does have success in Germany, it seems like there's, you know, in Germany if the network with Turner Broadcasting has high ratings because of it, do you think that will open the gates to consider other networks? Do you think that this will start something, you know, down the road, so to speak?
You know, if I'm going to play the heel here. If Turner really wanted to use this asset, they would use it here in the States, where there actually is a very substantial Hispanic population, not unlike Germany, which doesn't really have that great
of
a Hispanic population.
You know, I was in Germany for a year, and I don't think I saw any Hispanic residents.
Was there any Taco Bells?
No. There were Burger Kings and McDonald's and Pizza Hut, but not Taco Bell.
No Taco Johns?
There were no Taco Johns
Taco
either.
Johns is the best of the mid-mex or whatever they call themselves.
Sure.
They're only available in the Midwest is what Taco Johns is about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're not.
Yeah. I don't think there was really much Mexican food. Like, even just, like, actual Mexican restaurants, I don't think there was any of that. There wasn't even – there were places that sold pizza, and I don't think there were even taco pizzas. So, I mean, just to kind of tell you a little bit of, like, the catering, the food – style.
Nice.
And
yeah,
I'm going to stop talking.
Thank you for that,
but it would
way.
Make more sense for them trapped. To really put it here on the States on somebody besides El Rey. I know that's where your base is going to be right now, but for them to grow and to do what they kind of want to do is like kind of like spot tours, very much what NXT does. They'll do
sure.
three dates, take like a month off, do three more dates, take a month off. For them to do that, they have to get more eyeballs on their product. That's getting it on, like, Netflix or Hulu or something kind of similar to Flow Slam, which actually made a pretty big headline earlier this week as well with a partnership with WWN. Basically, WWN, of course, is Evolve, Shimmer, stuff like that. I think it might be Shine. It might be one of the two. And, of course, Full Impact Pro out of Florida.
Okay.
Basically, the deal is going to be very similar to what the network is. Basically, you can have unlimited access to WWN products for only $20 a month, which seems kind of steep, but when you start thinking about what iPay-per-view prices are, which are
yep.
anywhere between 15 to 20 for
yep.
one event.
If you're going to be getting that anyways.
Yes, and plus you're also not just have access to Flow Slam, you're going to have the rest of the access to the other Flow categories as well in the whole streaming service. So it's a really nice deal for them. It's going to get a lot of eyeballs on the product, but is this something that you guys are going to almost anticipated more indies doing going with a streaming service? I mean, we've seen AAW do it, AIW do it, High Spots is doing a streaming service. I pretty much Smart Mark's doing a streaming service as
mm-hmm.
well. Do you guys feel this is going to be one of the standard norms going forward?
We've talked about this before. We've talked mm-hmm. about Bell to Bell Productions and how you're in, like, we've talked about maybe your progression towards doing a streaming service because
yep.
it's what's hot right now. You know, obviously having those hard copies of DVDs is kind of cool, and it's, you got the graphics on there, and it's like, oh, look at the DVD.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a hard thing to transition from because we've had it for so long. It's kind of like VHS mm-hmm. tapes. Like, I still have some at my mom's house just lying around
and
somewhere.
Some of those are actually worth a lot of money.
Rugrats movie?
Yeah.
It's orange. I don't know. Is that worth money?
I don't know, man. Maybe look it up on eBay or something.
But anyway, streaming services, you know, I think if it's really accessible and it's very user-friendly, which I've never been on a streaming site, I don't know how to set one up, obviously, but I know that you kind of looked into that a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why not. I mean, I think essentially, I think it's a lot easier to distribute your product. It's a lot easier to get more eyes on your product, especially, you know, for if we're just trying to talk about small indies, we, you know, mm-hmm. us here in Wisconsin, you don't see – there's not a lot of trade taping anymore. And part of the reason of why that is because everything's available on the internet. So
right.
if you make your product available on the internet, then all of a sudden, hey, RCCW, some dude in Texas is watching your show now
yeah.
because there's no way for that dude in Texas to watch it if you're just selling DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
You put matches online – Your products could be you could have people in Africa watching your product, you know,
yep.
they can use the internet. So, I mean, it's just, that's kind of what I think about the streaming in general. I think it's definitely something that everybody should be moving towards, and
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't see why that wouldn't be, you know, in the next 10 years, why everybody wouldn't be doing that. That's trying to sell a product that's, you know, a video product or whatever it is.
I feel like the live streaming service is almost like how back in the day it was, you know, tape trading, it was, you know, collecting the VHSs, the DVDs. I feel like this is kind of that new age where, like, instead of the norm being collecting DVDs, now the norm is to watch stuff on streaming. Because, like, look at how popular, you know, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Network, you know, you name it. Like, if it's WB Network, of course. Just look at how popular those are because it's just the accessibility that, like, not a lot of people are really getting cable these days. I mean, for the longest time, we didn't have cable at our house because it was just the logic of we have Netflix and Hulu, we have HBO Network, we have the WB Network. Why do we have TV again?
Yep.
And we only turned on just so you could watch football.
I want to watch football.
And that's reality. And that's the thing is that, like, I'm sure if you had the NFL Network, you probably wouldn't have gotten cable again.
Probably not.
But at the same time, I'm sure that's a lot more expensive than network anyways. But it's one of those things where the streaming, it's kind of the norm now because, you know, everybody is getting, you know, their laptops, their Xboxes, their PS4s, all these consoles that have internet service that they can, you know, use these streaming accounts on, and it just seems like it's the cheaper, more accessible route than just watching just random cable. So I think that, like, this was kind of the new stage, day and age of wrestling Now was to go to streaming networks where you can, like you said, you can watch an independent wrestling company on the other side of the country and kind of watch the product, and you're like, oh man, I'm a huge fan of this guy, and I know he wrestles all over the area. Hey, he wrestled for that show. I think I remember seeing a post about it. I'm going to watch his match. And then it's just, you have that accessibility versus, hey, I know that this place, you know, this one of my favorite wrestlers wrestled in Ohio. You know, can I try to get the DVD from there? And it, and plus, too, it seems like it's a little bit more cost effective because, I mean, I'm sure that when you're getting DVDs and the covers for them and burning the and getting the just everything for the DVDs, that it costs time, it costs money, opposed to just uploading something onto like a cloud service, so to speak, and then putting that into the streaming network.
And that's what I kind of wanted to, I mean, I want you to comment on before mm-hmm. we move on. I know you're kind of playing moderator right now because
yep.
Riley did such a bad job of it last show.
Oh,
but I'm just kidding. But I know that you've kind of looked into streaming. I don't know how in-depth you have, but being a guy that puts together DVDs, edits, whatever, I mean, personally, do you think for a small company that's a good idea to do right now? Or, do you think eventually that's going to be the norm?
It's going to be the norm. So it's one of those things where you really want to jump on it sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it, right? So when you start listing down like how much you're actually paying per streaming service. Flow Slam, it's $20. New Japan World's about 10. WWE Network's about 10. Stuff like that. When you're looking at a price point, and the WWE Network is a great, great example of this, you have world-class production for $10 a month at your fingertips.
Right.
So what you're thinking when you're an indie company is like, well, how the hell do I beat that? Because I bet you money 99.9% of indie companies are not going to fork over the money for world-class production. So you got to start looking outside the box of how you want to really do that. It's where like Flow Slam was a really good idea because what they're asking for is other indies to really join in.
Exactly.
And there's a flat rate.
Right.
That's a great place. DIY Wrestling is another one that's actually really interesting. That's the one I've been really, really looking for and kind of like really looking into, because what it is basically you go in and you have the option to either rent or download. You set a price point. So where all the price points are based on credit. Credit's basically $1, right? So for one credit, for $1, you can watch a show. And what they do is they actually split the revenue basically 50-50. And once you become like a preferred provider for them, it goes to 60-40, which is a smart business model for any company really get into. Because then if you're going to set your price point for a rental at $1, you're going to get 60 cents on the dollar.
Yep.
Which is, that's free money once you get it out there.
Yep.
And get people to watch it. And that's
yep.
something that can really add to your coffers. Because, you know, some of the companies we go to will burn X amount of DVDs. Some places they sell very well. Some places, for whatever apparent reason, they don't. And a lot of that's based on the price point.
Yep.
So if you can set a price point where it's going to be cost effective for everyone to really jump on board, it's going to be very effective. But at the same time, though, you're also looking at a timetable to get this product out there.
Yep.
Now, I know with Smart Mark and stuff like that, when they actually do certain streams, what they'll do is they'll just, like, upload all the raw footage. And they'll charge people for the raw footage, which
interesting.
Is nuts.
Yeah.
But it's more of a wait than for the finished product. Maybe 4 to 6 weeks for something like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Battle of LA. So you get 3 discs, but it takes about 4 or 5 weeks to edit. Another 4 or 5 weeks to ship out. So you're still looking at, you know, like, that type of stuff. So, like, let's say we're going to do a show on a Saturday and they wind up on the streaming service on a Monday, right? So that's an all-day edit on Sunday just to get it up on Monday. Because even
yep.
upload times, no matter what, for 2.5 hours is fucking forever. Have you guys ever tried to upload
yeah.
anything more than 30 seconds on something, right?
It takes
yeah.
forever, man.
It takes a long time.
Forever. Yet everyone doesn't think it takes forever. Hey, brother, can you send me the show, the raw footage, like better than Dropbox? Yeah, sure, man. It's going to take me fucking 20 hours for 30 gigs. How long is it going to take you to download it? Oh, brother, that's all right, man. I'll be fine. Fuck you, man. It takes forever.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So it's all you're going to see. I think if you really want to invest in the streaming service, you have to invest the money into the people who are going to be providing you your media to put into the streaming service.
Because you can't make
yeah.
a streaming service and put up garbage because
yes.
then who's going to want to pay for that?
You
know
because
what
you
mean?
Already have YouTube for that.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly, yep.
You have YouTube for that. And YouTube's a great model, too, because you can still monetize those videos.
Yep.
I mean, it's something that we've been doing with, like, when we did with Seven Rivers Wrestling, you know, we had a fucking Bane up deal there. But no one believed in it besides us.
Yep.
So that was...
Right. I mean, there's a couple of 7RW videos on YouTube that have quite a few thousand hits.
Yeah.
I think the overall channel
actually,
has.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Sexy KC versus Zach Gower match. Even though it was from Elite Pro Wrestling, it's on the page. It's actually, it's been picking up more views, apparently, for some apparent reason lately.
Oh, has it really?
Yeah, I think most of it's actually from Sexy KC watching his glory days.
It might be. I mean, it's on top of that, too.
I
would
be surprised if you and me get a phone call and be like, Ragnar, I want to get back in the game.
I will tell you, that might have been one of my best called heel commentary matches of all time.
That's honestly one of my favorites.
I called it with Livewire. It was hilarious.
We played it when we were on the road with like Devlin Kane, and just like it was weird because Devlin Kane like has that he has the car where instead of like where you have the CD player, he also has that DVD player and
yeah,
the
go along with his fancy coffee.
Exactly. So basically, you know, he's watching it with Devlin like in the car. I'm driving and I'm just listening to the commentary, and I just remember like just some of the commentary that you were doing was just fucking phenomenal. Like just that final call, like what do you ask me, hey Nicholas Joseph Ragnar, what the hell just happened? Bullshit.
It's good time.
Just went on a fucking rant, and it was great.
But my first time's working heel. That was my first time doing anything heel at all. That was fun.
That was a really fun show, guys.
Still have the mustache, too.
Definitely. You know what? We'll just put a link up on the...
Let's do that. Why not?
We'll put a link up on the Facebook page so everyone can check it out this week. All right, cool. Another thing going on this weekend is, of course, on Sunday, we have Hell in a Cell. Big-time pay-per-view there for Raw. And there's three Hell in a Cell matches on this guy. Of course, you're going to have Kevin Owens take it on Seth Rollins.
Yep.
You're going to see Roman Reigns take it on Rusev. And the one that seems to be garnering the more buzz, or I would say the more buzz out of the three of them, is, of course, Sasha Banks take it on Charlotte in a Hell in a Cell. This is, of course,
in the main event.
Well, we're not too sure yet what exactly the main event.
Oh, that's right,
because
it's one of three main events.
One of three main
Forgot
events.
Forgot that they had that blanket.
All main events. What are you going to do? But it's going to be the first time the women are going to be inside the Hell in a Cell, and this very well could be the payoff to quite possibly the best women's feud on the main roster in about 15 years.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we talked about that match a little bit a couple of weeks ago. A lot of expectations for it. You have to – it kind of worries you and makes you wonder if it's going to be able to live up to those expectations just because, you know, you add the cell.
Let's talk about where the expectations should be and where you think other people think they are.
I think part of the aspect that's funny about this match is that I think the expectations, it's not, you don't only look at the expectations from the fans, you look at the expectations that Sasha and Charlotte are setting for themselves, because these are two ladies that have a history of always going above and beyond what it was that they did last time, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of them is dead after this match. Somebody might die in this match.
That seems to be the general consensus.
Well, apparently there was a rumor that Charlotte tried to pitch doing the moonsault off the cell, and Vince just shut.
How tall that cell is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, she pitched that because she wanted to do that whole aspect of diving off the cell, and I guess Vince just shut it down.
If she could actually do just one, you know, rotation of the moonsault off the cell, then I would. You know how high that cell is.
Okay, so for those at home, this let's say this pen is Charlotte, and she is on top of the cell. Here's Banks.
Yeah. Well, she's gonna have to jump off, and then she'll probably end up doing like 16 backflips, and then she'll hit her.
There is no water there, and this is not synchronized diving.
It is not.
It's not.
I mean, you could be like you know, Rikishi, and have some weird truck with hay in it. For some reason, just
trust
backed
fall.
Up.
That was like the ultimate trust fall.
It was. And when he fell, he like just...
He just went, yep.
He looked like a plank. It was great.
He has Assassin's Creed dive.
Yeah, he was just like, good for you, bro.
Gone.
Yeah.
He's like,
that's it.
Undertaker's choke slam. He literally just pushed him with his choke. He's like, you got it, brother.
He's like, he force choked him.
That's pretty much
hey, don't die.
Rikishi's falling backwards. Like, maybe I should have kept being the Sultan.
Maybe I would have landed on my neck and killed myself.
Did I leave the stove on?
But no, I definitely agree with your point that these two really like pushing the envelope. And I don't know if we can actually make the comparison to it. But watching these matches, you almost have to feel like it's almost like going back in time and watching those early Dynamite Kid Tiger Mask matches when they're basically reinventing the wheel when it comes to what their genre of wrestling could be. I don't know. When we look back at this match, maybe 5-10 years down the road, and let's say they're both still alive, hopefully, cross your fingers, is this a water like a watermark moment for women's wrestling, where we're talking about them possibly being a main event of a gimmick pay-per-view on the 15th biggest pay-per-view of the year in the WWE.
I think it's really cool, and I think, yeah, obviously this is going to be something that's going to be remembered mm-hmm. for a long time, regardless of what pay-per-view it was, regardless yep. of who's in the match. I think just the idea, the speculation around it is enough to make us, you know, remember this for a long, long time. I think, you know, especially if they do end up main eventing, that this will probably be one of the most important moments in women's wrestling history. And you know, it's something to look forward to. I'm just really curious to see what they're gonna do in the Hell in a Cell. I think that's, you know, it's something that, you know, walking in there, you know, with the Kevin Owens match and Seth Rollins match, the Rusev Roman Reigns match. I mean, I think we have like an idea of what to expect just because we've seen so many Hell in a Cell, but we have no idea what to expect from Sasha and Charlotte. And I think that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, I think if you're looking down the road, you know, and like reflecting on the history of women's wrestling, I'm sure that this will have its own bookmark, just because it's just like Bayley and Sasha Banks, you know, the 30-minute Iron Woman match that was in the main event of NXT TakeOver, because it was a moment, not only because it was a 30-minute Iron Woman match, because I think that was the first Iron Woman match, you know, between two women, to my knowledge, or at least in, you know, for a long time.
It would be very hard if it was an Iron Woman match between two people who were not women.
Well, you get what I'm trying to say. But more importantly, it was the first ever main event of NXT that involved two women, opposed to, you know, it was for a main event for the NXT title, or it was a main event, you know, blood feud or something like that. It was two women that told a fantastic story of women's revolution. And then they were the main event, so that's going to have a bookmark. I think that the main event, or I think the Hell in a Cell between Sasha and Charlotte, you know, it essentially pioneers to take women's wrestling, you know, see it in a different light than for the longest time it's always been. It's always been two women that, you know, can actually wrestle just like men, and then it turned into, you know, these, you know, hot women that were, you know, slapping each other around in the Divas era, so to speak. And then it became more back into the old days where women could wrestle. Mm-hmm. And then now it's looking at now that women are in a Hell in a Cell. So it's something that for the longest time, I think people never even put those two together, because that just seemed like, it's like, okay, women in a Hell in a Cell, that's ridiculous. And now that this match is happening, down the road, it's like, well, hey, those two, you know, Hell in a Cell, they should just settle it. Like, that will actually become a realistic aspiration or something. It'll basically be something that people can see as more realistic opportunity, opposed to just, that's ridiculous, that will never happen.
Thing that we already talked about, in a simple way of saying what you just kind of said a little bit, is that this is just different. This is something that, this is why it's so popular. That's why... And seeing women do things like this is catching people's attention. You know, we haven't seen women give each other, you know, deep arm drags, you know, often. And now that we're seeing it, we think it's super cool. We haven't seen women, you know, giving other ones superplexes off of ladders. I don't think we've seen that yet. But, I mean, I'm just trying to use that as an example, because I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But, you know what I'm trying to say is that we haven't seen this in a long time. It felt like it was never there. And even though we're seeing it from the men on a daily basis, seeing it from the women who we haven't seen it from for such a long time is catching a lot of people's interest. You know, you go into the Hell in the Cell, and if you're expecting Charlotte to take a moonsault off the top of the cell through the announcer's table, you're probably going to be in for bad luck. But what you might see, what you might see is Charlotte, you know, power bomb Sasha Banks into the side of the cage. And to me, that's something that's going to wow a lot of people. And it's going to, because again, that's something that we have never seen before. Yeah. So basically, if they are to use that environment at all, it's going to be pretty awesome.
I can tell you one thing we're not going to see in this Hell in a Cell match: either one of them lynching the other one.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we're not going to see in this one.
I think one of the things I want to say really quick is that it kind of going back to the Cruiserweight Classic, where they basically, you know, ultimately defined cruiserweights didn't mean that it's a bunch of guys flipping around. It's, you know, just basically the only thing that defines a cruiserweight is their weight. You know, everybody's coming in with different styles, different backgrounds, so it kind of redefined what cruiserweights are, actually just, you know, restating the true definition in the first place and kind of breaking that stereotype, so to speak. So I think that with a match like this, it basically says that women's wrestling isn't different from men's wrestling. The only difference is just the gender. So I think that this match kind of says that women can do the matches that men can do. It's just the only difference will be it's women, not men.
Very fair point.
Holy shit.
Very fair point.
What just happened? I blacked out for a second.
Yeah, you had your old school moment. All
I had my
cool.
old school moment.
Let's move on to more old school news. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. We're finally on to the quarterfinals, and we actually have our final, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
we have
our
final four.
Elite Eight.
Elite Eight, dude.
But
we're
it's,
working to our final four.
But it's four tag teams, though.
No,
it's eight tag teams.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
we have
four
five,
matches.
Six,
I'm sorry. Elite Eight. You guys are right.
Yep. Remind me to actually invite him to our NCAA bracket.
he'll end it early.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be fantastic.
All right, cool. So looking at the matchups, we have TM61 taking on Aries and Strong. Now, depending on what actually happens with the taping schedule, Aries did get hurt in his match with Nakamura, I guess, the other night.
Yep.
So we're not too sure where that match is. So we'll just put a kind of question mark there. That should be an interesting one. TJB and Ibushi will be taking on Sanity. The Authors of Pain will be taking on No Way Swan, as I like to call them, you know, because No Way Jose and Rich Swan. And, of course, you'll see the Revival taking on Gargano and Ciampa in another chapter of their classic rivalry. Guys, this is actually going to shape up to be a really nice Elite Eight. Let's just throw it out there right now. Who you got moving on and why?
Oh, that's a tough – that's a kind of a tough call. I know we're a little maybe stressed on time just a little bit because I know we have to get to our Anthony Toatelli interview that A.C. Riley so graciously did for us. But anyways, you know, looking at this, I think this is a fantastic, like you said, Elite Eight, because I think you can make a case for just about everybody. You know, obviously with the Aries injury, you have to wonder if that already automatically puts TM61 ahead. Otherwise, you know, Roderick Strong continuing his path in NXT could continue on with in the tournament, I guess, to make him look stronger going forward. Get it?
Yep.
Is that funny for you? Not really.
No.
TJP and Ibushi working together. Obviously, Ibushi is a guy that they love over there in WWE. But Sanity, one of their new factions over there, obviously have to make them look strong as well. You talk about the Authors of Pain. This could be their defining moment going farther in this tournament. No Way Swan, definitely a fan favorite. Could totally see them getting dominated by the Authors of Pain. And Revival taking on Gargano and Ciampa, I mean, expect this to quite possibly be the match of the entire tournament because these guys have built so much chemistry. We've seen them work with each other. We've seen them put on, like, tag team, no pun intended, tag team classic matches before. But if I had to pick four teams to move on, I'm going to say the Aries injury plays a role. TM61 goes on. Sanity finds a way to beat Ibushi. We'll go Authors of Pain, taking out the fan favorites. And then I got to go with the Revival. They're the tag team champs. I can't have them losing in the second round. So, yeah, we'll do a final four of TM61, Sanity, who will then have another victory after that. Authors of Pain going on to take on the Revival, and haven't figured out a way around that one yet, but I guess we'll wait until
we'll,
that.
We'll get there when we we'll get there. What about you, AC? Who you got?
Well, let me ask this. I can't remember if there's rules similar to CWC. Are there time restrictions where if it's a draw, both teams are eliminated?
You know, I think they actually do have time limits on the matches, but
okay. But I thought
if you want to do like one of the things where it ends in a tie, much like Seattle and Arizona on Sunday night, you can do that as well.
All right, so
it's just the worst match of all time.
Fuck those
guys
too, by the way.
I would say probably the same thing as Nick, where the injury with Aries probably comes into effect, and TM61 gets the win. I would imagine Sanity gets the win over TJP and Ibushi. Just I know that they're pushing TJP hard because obviously he's the CWC champion. But I think it's one
so
of those
many initials there.
But I pretty much. But I say that they really emphasize the 4-on-2 where they have the numbers game, and you know they're very much this giant, you know, faction. So and obviously pushing them hard. So I would say that they go on to advance the final four. Authors of Pain dominates No Way Swan because it just seems like it's like a. It's too much of a Cinderella story for No Way Swan to advance any farther than the Authors of Pain. And then I say that because of the match that they had to take over Brooklyn, I almost say that the Revival and Gargano Ciampa go to a time limit. They eliminate both themselves. They go to a bye, give Authors of Pain an advance to the final two.
I wonder why you asked the question.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was thinking of, because like they put on this like – phenomenal match, and it almost seemed like it was going to be a payoff match, but it still told that story of, you know, emphasizing things that happened in the Cruiserweight Classic with Gargano being injured and, you know, everything. I felt like they told this phenomenal story where it said that it wasn't necessarily over, but for now we're going to take a break from it. It's for the Tag Team Classic. So it's tough to say that the Revival would beat Gargano and Ciampa again. It makes sense to, but it also it's even harder to say that Gargano and Ciampa would beat the Revival, you know, in the Elite Eight, so to speak. So I almost say that they canceled themselves out, and then you have a tag team match for you have the tag team title match for TakeOver Toronto. In theory, I guess. That's at least my pick.
Who you got, Jesse?
All right, cool. Looking at this, as much as I want to do a TM61 going on, I think Aries and Strong, that's a good pairing there. Depending on Aries' injury, the extent of it and stuff like that, I'm just going to go Buck the System, go with them on that one. And I'm going to Buck the System on the next match as well. I think Ibushi, they had plans of him going deep in the tournament, even if, like, you know, Hideo Itami couldn't make it or not. Him and TJP, there's a good story there, and I could really see those guys having a program somewhere else down the road, but I'm going to take them over Sanity because I think they might have tipped their hat with Sanity on this past week on NXT, where Nikki Cross got herself basically disqualified for attacking her opponent after the bell. So kind of keep your eye on that one. You almost have to go, you have to go Authors of Pain on this one. There's just no way, Swan.
Yep.
Just no way.
No way. Hey.
Now, the interesting thing about the Revival, Gargano and Ciampa, is this is the point where you could actually have the Revival actually lose a match and not lose the belts. So having them actually lose the match to Gargano and Ciampa gives those guys another opportunity at the titles. So I am going to take Gargano and Ciampa on that one. Because it just makes sense, because if you're looking at it, Authors of Pain and the Revival, it might be too soon for that match.
Yep.
So let's take that away from the tournament. The time limit draw would be good because it gets the Authors of Pain basically into the finals without going through a lot of people. Kind of keeps that mystique going.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, when you're looking at two guys you want to push over as monsters, who better for them to beat into the next round than Gargano and Ciampa, who are beloved and could sell like motherfuckers.
Better to work with, exactly. Yep. Who would make them look like $1 million.
Fair point. I don't know. We'll you know, probably look back at this and be like, God, we were a bunch of idiots.
It's just four draws. All four draws.
Yeah. And just Dusty wins.
Dusty's done.
Ghost shows up. He's like, brother, I'm taking my trophy.
Now that would be something I would tune in for.
All right, cool.
So that's it for our discussion. AC Riley, you had a chance to catch up with Anthony Toatelli. Care to tell us a little bit about what you guys talked about before we go to that interview?
Well, it was great to actually talk with them in person because, you know, we did the interview with them on the phone. And, you know, you get to kind of see two different personalities when you're on the phone versus, you know, talking with them in person. So we got to talk about, you know, the whole engagement that Anthony set up with Kenzie and just the kind of shock value that there was with that. We talked about Wisconsin wrestling and how, you know, he's really hoping to get into the Wisconsin scene more. It was a pretty fun interview, so, you know, we'll get to that right now.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
We're sitting down with Anthony Toatelli and Kenzie Alexander in person this time, because last time we talked to you guys, we were on the phone. You guys are here at Fourth Wall Wrestling, so figured, you know, we gotta meet in person. We gotta do this like actually in person. So good to meet you guys officially in the flesh.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're excited to travel a little bit and get outside of the state of Indiana, come to Wisconsin, come to Fourth Wall Wrestling. It was an awesome time, so hopefully we'll be back. And nice to finally meet you in person too.
I mean, you can be honest. I mean, we're pals here, so you can be honest. You know, if it's not nice to see me in person, you can just be.
No. I mean, it's all right. Fine. It's all right. It's not everything that I expected. Right. I had high hopes, but the potential's there. We can build on it.
All right. Well, I just want to get that out on the record because I know that Jesse and Nick would be like, it wasn't really that nice to see him. Let's be honest. So you guys came from Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're definitely a little bit out of your comfort zone here. Is this the first time you've wrestled in Wisconsin?
Yeah. That's the first time either of us have been to Wisconsin, actually.
Yeah. We've been to Illinois, never Wisconsin. So when we got the invite, I thought it was super cool and something different for us. So I said, why not?
Yeah, it was one of those things where, like, not to pat my own back here, but I saw you guys had the day open. I knew that the show was going on and stuff like that, and it just kind of worked out where you got to fill in a spot here for one of the other guys that was supposed to be working today. And, yeah, it's one of those things, too, because, you know, it's for you, it's a new experience. It's one of those things, too, where they get to see some fresh faces because a lot of these guys, it's either a mix of, like, Wisconsin guys or Illinois guys from, like, Proving Ground. So, like, here you and Alexander Kirk come in and you guys kind of prove that it's, like, it doesn't have to be just these guys next to us. It can be people from anywhere else, too.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity to, like, obviously we were hurting for a date today, but just the opportunity to, like, travel and, like, show people that, you know, we're not just stuck in Indiana. We're not just stuck in the that state or that vicinity is kind of cool. And to show, you know, showcase a little bit to everybody else, like, hey, we're here. We're doing cool stuff over there, and I'm going to bring my cool stuff over to you guys, too. So,
yeah, definitely. And regardless, you know, it's a bunch of new experiences. You guys have been definitely busy this year. You know, you've been all over Indiana. You are here in Wisconsin for the first time. You guys got engaged. So that was pretty cool. So I got to ask, this is mainly for you, because I saw the photos. You guys were at the booth, and All of a sudden he presents you the ring. In all seriousness, did you expect he was going to propose at the Indie PopCon? Did you think he was going to propose at all, anything like that?
No, I had no idea. Like, you know, obviously we've talked about, like, where we're going to take our relationship, but I had zero idea that he was going to ask there. And what was funny is everybody else but me knew. So it was, like, this big secret within the panel that it was going to happen. And I was curious because my mom was sitting up front row, but she had, like, a wad of tissues in her hands. And I was like, what is her, like, what, why does she need tissues?
Was she just going to cry that I'm
allergies?
Yeah, like, allergies. I guess I didn't really, I was just like, oh, that's weird. And then it all made sense to me afterwards because she cried, like, she cried as hard as I did. So, but yeah, complete shock, complete.
Yeah, it's funny because the same thing happened with Nick's fiance. He proposed to his girlfriend. It was one of those things where, you know, they're very rarely do they, like, dress formally. So it was one of those things where she said, "No, if you ever propose to me, do not do it while I'm in sweats." So then they did this whole thing where, like, conveniently, Nick's grandma was planning to move to Arizona. So then they're like, "Oh, well, she wants to get some family photos, and you're basically part of the family, so she wants you to be a part of it." So of course they go down to, like, you know, to the park, and they're all dressed up, and all of a sudden Nick almost, like, pulls, like, a wrestling move out of it, because, like, just like it was almost like a lucha pass. Because, like, she's walking to, you know, like, go hang out with, like, her part of the family, almost, like, does the lucha pass, like, pats her on the back almost, you know, puts the napkin down, gets on one knee, and she's like, what are you doing? So
it's, hey, at least he was dressed up, and, you know, I'm sure he looked very dapper, so, and he didn't break her rules, which I've learned quickly, like, you don't want to break those rules when going to pop the question.
Right.
Because I believe the rule for her, it's been in, like, discussion for, like, an entire year, was don't do it at a wrestling show. So, like, I bended the rule, and I did it at a wrestling show's panel at a convention. So I feel like I didn't break the rule, but I still did it in our, like, natural environment.
Yeah.
So
no complaints. I'm not even mad. So.
Well, I mean, I guess to be fair, you could have said no based on your definition of the no proposing at the wrestling show, and you said yes.
Could you imagine? If I would have said no to you.
Yeah, that would have been super embarrassing. Like, in front of all those people, and there was, like, seven different cameras and videos. Like, I'm glad you didn't say no, actually.
If my family was there, that would have been hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, funny. Not funny at all, actually.
Well, it was funny because, like, Nick and I were actually talking about, like, once you guys got engaged. It was funny because, like, you said on the last time we talked to you guys that it's, like, you guys got paired just randomly. Like, it was one of those things where, you know, you guys just kind of got put together as a group. And then here you are, you guys were dating, and then you actually started, you know, now you guys are in that next step, your relationship. So is that weird at all to kind of look at where you guys started to where you are now?
Actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because we were just talking about this today. Like 2 years ago when we weren't dating, we were just, like, doing the wrestling thing together. She was my manager. We were traveling through Illinois. And we stopped today at the same rest area that we stopped at 2 years ago coming through Illinois. And she was like, is this the same rest area that we were at? And I was like, actually, yeah. Like, we were, like, just, like, walking down memory lane with Kirk and telling him, like, yeah, like, last time I was here, I was, like, sick as a dog. And, like,
that's the first time I ever tried Starbucks was at that rest area.
Yeah, because she's from a small town in Ohio.
We have Tim Hortons. That's what we have.
Yeah, Tim Hortons. But like it was, it's just like one of those things. Like it's so weird to look back now and be like, man, like 2 years ago I would have never even thought about it, and here we are, like, you know, picking out venues and doing the whole like wedding thing. Like, so it's real now. So I think it's awesome. Like, I'm sure it's different. I'm sure. Like, I feel like it's not something that happens normally in this business. So.
No.
Kind of sets us apart
a little bit, yeah.
So it's almost, if you think about it, it's almost kind of like a Triple H Stephanie kind of, you know, thing going on.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where same thing, they got randomly put together. Obviously their chemistry developed into starting to date and stuff like that. Plus side is that you don't have like a promoter boss to my knowledge that's your boss and has to be. Oh, is it going to be one of those like checkpoint thing if you win a title?
Well, actually, like, the weird thing is her mom is basically our agent, like, in a weird way. Like,
yeah,
she's very super involved with, like, conventions, like, bringing in guests from, like, The Walking Dead or, like, other super popular TV shows. And, like, she kind of helped start us on at Indie PopCon. So, like, in a way, like, yeah, like, I am. Your mom's kind of in charge, so I have to, like, tread lightly, you know what I'm saying? Because otherwise I'm going to get pulled off all these conventions.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that too, the Indie PopCon. When I saw, you know, the information about that and everything, and you guys got to be on that, what was that like to be on something called an Indie PopCon?
Awesome. I love, that's definitely my area, that just what Indie PopCon is and what it represents. I'm definitely the more into the video games and that, the YouTube, where that's not really his field. So I loved it. Our first time there was last year, and I was all about it. So we came back again this year, thankfully, and I love it. I love being there. I love seeing all the different cosplays and being a part of it. And luckily this year we got to actually have a wrestling show, so we kind of got to introduce our world into it, like their world. So it was a great combination.
Yeah, last year, I mean, the first time we did it, I felt like a little bit of like a fish out of water. Like she said, it wasn't really my thing. But this time around, there was definitely more comic book based things, which I'm a huge fan of. There's definitely more wrestling fans with all the wrestling guests that we had there. So this time around, like, I felt much more at home. The wrestling show went off, like, it was awesome. It was great to like work in front of like not only our fans that traveled, you know, as part of Strong Style and RCW, but also like the people that have never been to a wrestling show. And we got lots of messages afterwards. They're like, yeah, like, you guys, like, that was awesome. Like, your guys, the stuff that you did down there, like, really made it, like, established and cemented the fact that we need to go to more wrestling shows. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so on top of that, too, I noticed a couple times that, like, there'd be videos promoting the show by just guys being out there at the booth, just hanging out, and then just, you know, an assault and set up, you know. I think it's kind of cool to essentially incorporate your environment in a situation where maybe somebody that's just randomly looking at some of the convention, you know, some of the booths, and all of a sudden they just see two guys just beating the tar out of each other, you know, just at a booth. And do you think that, like, did you get any reaction just from people like fans at the show, like, hey, man, you know, I wasn't going to go, but then I saw this whole thing, you know, spill out in the booth, and I figured I had to come, and I'm glad I did. Anything like that?
Did somebody find a booth?
I mean, there was some like there was like some big heated arguments at booths, I feel like, between some people.
Was there? Why did I miss this? What was I doing?
I'm probably crying because I proposed to you.
Probably.
Yeah.
Just
to be fair, I wasn't getting proposed, so like I was, you know, I was on Facebook and
so
I.
So you got
I
to just, yeah, and we also had to go get ready because we got dressed up, so we kind of had to leave the area.
Yeah,
but I mean, I just in general, like, we had lots of fans that said, like, I've never been to a convention, or I would never even think about coming to this convention, but I saw this wrestling thing, and I've never been to an indie wrestling show, but I see all these guys that I knew from, like, the 90s or, like, you know, on TNA or anything like that, and that's the coolest part, is bringing people to Indie PopCon that would have never gone in the first place. So that was cool for me. And then, you know, obviously, getting engaged.
Yeah, getting
there.
Engaged. That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, it is all right.
Yeah.
So, like, I that's one of the things that's interesting, too, is, you know, that they incorporated the show with the booth. And I know that, like, Joey Ryan was doing that with, like, DDT Pro, like, with the 24/7 title. And, you know, they're going around to booths and signing off. And by, you know, by some technicality, we have a new champion, or, you know, guys getting pinned, like, in, you know, in the middle of the convention and stuff like that. So I think honestly, for me, that's an interesting concept to incorporate your environment to really get some buzz going on for a show, or just on social media, because, you know, that obviously that DDT Pro,
24/7 clause is just, you know, it's like it brings you back to like the hardcore championship where Crash Holly would like defend the belt, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, he just like looking over his back, just like, oh wait, who's gonna get me now?
And it's so cool, like in this era of social media, like instead of just seeing it on TV on Monday nights or on Sundays, with Thursdays for SmackDown or whatever, but now it's just like, I'm gonna take this 30-second Vine video or like this Twitter or Facebook video, and it's everywhere, and it's just like really entertaining. And I think that running with that 24/7 concept and then just building upon it is awesome. And obviously, it's bringing so much attention to them, and it's cool. It's a cool thing. It's very cool.
Definitely. So on top of that too, I think it was Annihilation, but don't quote me on that. You had a pretty big match here as well in the summer. So tell me about that. What was that like for you guys?
It was good. We got paired. We were with Remy Wilkins. I tagged with Remy Wilkins against the Circle City Collabo. I don't know if they're going by
really
that.
I think they're that.
I don't know. Like, it used to be Remy Wilkins running with Apollo Starr and Drew Skills. And now, and like they've broken up, and Remy's a good guy now. He's one of us, and we had this awesome match in an awesome venue in South Bend, Indiana. It's called the Century Center. Strong Style Wrestling runs there. It's very much, it has this very Coliseum feel.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, the ring is raised up in front of everybody because it's like a stage, right?
Kind of, yeah. It's like in the for lack of better words, in a theater. So it's definitely raised, and the chairs, like, you know, they angled down, which is
and
great.
Everyone's just like on top of you, which is very cool. And we did a lot of cool stuff where Remy and Drew fought all the way to the top, and I was in the ring, like, and the match ended up going off really, really well with everyone like really like getting into it. So, and the awesome part is that they got into it, and after us was Matt. Matt Cross and Ricochet.
Yeah.
So, like, for fans to come out to see Matt Cross and Ricochet, and they're like, oh, who are these other local guys? But then to, like, you know, get really into our match is awesome. Because it's very just two very different styles, and, you know, wrestling as a whole is, you know, they enjoyed it. So that's kind of what we were aiming for.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I saw, too, a photo of you and Swoggle together. Was that a Strong Style show, or was that a different...
It was, yeah. It was the show beforehand, right?
Yeah, One World's Collide 2.
Yeah, One World's Collide,
One World's Collide 2, yeah. Swoggle and I were tagged. We were representing the Strong Style brand against two other brands. Big, like, what, four people?
Yeah.
It's like a Survivor Series triple threat tag team match. By elimination, and me and Swoggle ended up winning the whole thing, which Dylan, not to name drop, but Dylan is a super cool guy, had all the advice in the world for everybody and made time for everybody, so I can't, you know, speak enough nice things about him. He was awesome.
Now, what I want to say too on top of that, because Dylan runs in Oshkosh, that's only about an hour from here, so does that mean that you guys maybe did you guys talk about him bringing you up here or something like that? Did you or was it one of those things like, hey, good job, kid, and that was it?
It wasn't so much as a good job, kid, but it was more of a, there was so much going on, and I think that he actually worked in Illinois or Wisconsin the night before.
Yeah, I
think it might have been.
So, like, he was just very much like, hey, man, like, here's the things that I felt like you did really well. Like, here's some advice. Keep it up. And then he kind of just rushed out the door, which, you know, it's cool. At least he took the time to give advice. Like, I'm sure there are guys out there, and I've never run into them, really. But I'm sure there are guys out there just kind of like, hey, thanks, kid, and walk out the door. And he's definitely not one of those guys. So he definitely helped out everybody. So it was cool.
So what's some big stuff coming up here in the future that you guys are looking forward to as you get closer to that date?
What do we have? No, next weekend.
Besides your wedding, of course.
She's all about the wedding. We have two really big shows this coming weekend. Smash Funk, which is a partner show between Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling, which runs out of Valparaiso, Indiana, and Funktified Wrestling, which runs out of Warsaw, Indiana. I'm in two really big matches for that. The one I'm super excited about, though, is on Sunday in Valpo. I get to take on John Hudson and Marsh Rocket. John Hudson and I, we've wrestled pretty much every single one of those shows. Yeah. We always tear the house down. And then Marsh Rocket, obviously, he's from Illinois. I believe he's from, like, the Chicago area. He just got signed to TNA Impact Wrestling. Yeah. Cool thing about that is I actually was coming into the business, and he was one of the first guys I kind of, like, watched from the back, like, after I was on the pre-show. And I was like, that's the dude that I want to be. Like, that dude has everything. Like, he's so good. And, like, you know, 3.5 years later, I get to wrestle him for my championship. So that's pretty awesome to me.
So that's one thing I've noticed a lot too, is that in especially in Indiana, you got like Funkified, FWF, Smash Mouth, RCCW is Wisconsin, RCW, who just won C. You got all these promotions in Indiana that it seems like they're always working joint shows together. You know, they'll do the occasional show by themselves, but what's that like to kind of be working under a show with multiple banners? Is that anything noticeable where you kind of see some of the separate banners, or is it just kind of just a giant melting pot at that point?
A
little bit of both,
honestly. Like, you can definitely see the differences, but at the same time, like, it's everyone just kind of comes together at that point. Like, there's the different brands, definitely, but when we're all there together, we're pretty much under one name.
And it's never bad for business.
No.
Like, it's never, like, we never go to these joint shows and you... where there's like bad blood or anything. It's very much like everyone's kind of like on the same track, the same train of thought, and we're all just trying to, you know, put on a really good show for everybody. And joint shows, especially the ones that we work, tend to do really well, and they get to bring in big names. And not only are the really hardcore fans of FWF or Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling are not only seeing their local guys that they really like, but they're also getting to see like these bigger names or names that they haven't seen for a while. Which I think really helps out.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not exactly familiar with the map of Indiana, but I would say that all these shows run relatively close to each other, right? So it almost makes sense to just go under one banner, right?
Yeah, like they're all within, like I would say, like a 2 to 3 hour like time difference, like distance wise.
I'm terrible at directions.
Like, yeah,
I'm
like, sure. She doesn't even know what Indiana looks like. But. Yeah, I mean, they're far enough away from each other where I feel like that they have their
there's diversity.
Yeah, they have their local fans, but also, like, it's not too far for anyone to drive, especially for fans that want to see someone like Rikishi or who are some other Bushwhacker Luke that's going to be at the next one, or Chris Masters or anyone like that. Like, those Billy Gunn, you know, my wrestling dad, if you will.
Your wrestling dad.
Yeah, I only say that jokingly because my dad passed away like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I worked with Billy at Heroes and Legends Wrestling, which we have Heroes and Legends Wrestling coming up October 22nd. That's a big one for us too. But Kinsey here knows Billy from before, like when she first got in the business. They kind of like... him and Road Dog kind of took her under their wing.
Yeah.
But now Billy, I just kind of look up to him. He's kind of like, me and him are kind of cut from the same mold a little bit.
They're the same person.
Like, fast forward, like, probably, like, 20 years, and, like, if I'm still working or, like, still doing the wrestling thing, like, I'm pretty sure me and Billy Gunn are going to be the exact same person. But he also reminds me a lot of my dad. Like, they have, like, the same mannerisms, the same, like, attitude, and so I just really look up to the guy. He's super cool. But, yeah, like... just people like that. Damian Sandow came to the last Strong Style Wrestling show, and those are people that people remember from like the Attitude Era or from a couple years ago that people don't get to see, and now they get to see them up close and personal, and they're, like I said, they're always approachable, they're always super nice. So I think that's something different for the fans.
Yeah, definitely. And I going back to what you said about the shows really being about 2-3 hours apart. That's the thing that I feel is so important about so many shows just trying to do these joint, you know, operations, because then it's almost like, you know, like I feel like the biggest issue with like invasion angles, for example, is that, you know, it's going to be two shows that are so far apart from each other that, yeah, you're technically trading talent, but it's not like you're going to be trading fans. Like, you know, a fan from the other side of the state isn't going to drive to the other side of the state because that's a 6-hour drive or something. But I mean, that's why I think it's great about, like, you know, what's going on in Indiana, is that it's really recognizing there are other promotions outside of just this one. And I mean, we're recording this on the 10th last week. Milwaukee had a show where it's like a showcase of champion show where they had like all these different promotions from the Midwest, and it's really cool to be able to see just all these different promotions, you know, just working together and proving, okay, it's not about just us, it's just about independent wrestling and giving the fans a good time.
Yeah, the trading of talent thing, like, I get the idea of it, I can get behind it, but like you said, like, they're not, if you're 5 hours away, 6 hours away, that's a lot to expect fans to drive to.
Sure.
If you're not a hardcore fan, and being 2 hours away, that's a lot easier. People will make that drive. They'll carpool together. And I think it's cool for us to go to these joint shows and then go to their, you know, their own promotional shows and see the same fans, because I think that they realize, like, we're not just here to support the brand, but we're here to support the wrestlers. And that's awesome, to have people that just kind of follow their favorite wrestlers to different promotions.
Definitely.
All right, so before we let you go, how do we get a hold of Anthony Toatelli and Kenzie Alexander on social media?
You can follow me on Twitter, at Kenzie_Alexander. He is at Anthony Toatelli 1. And then you can find us you can find us on Facebook under our names. Definitely reach out to us there. We are super active with fans, and we'd love to hear from you.
So. Yeah, like she said, Twitter, Facebook. My Instagram's open right now, public. Okay. Hers is private. But
private.
Follow me on Instagram if you want to see, like, gratuitous gym selfies and workout videos.
It's just a bunch of gym selfies.
Yeah, like, literally it's just me trying to get signed to the WWE, like, just putting stuff up, and I'll just, you know, tag the WWE. But, yeah, follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, you're just going to see a bunch of pictures of my cats, so.
Yeah, and no one wants to see that.
I mean, that's
no,
the internet.
Everybody wants to.
Who wants to see cats on the internet?
Come on. Have the cutest
everybody,
cats alive.
Everybody, apparently,
so.
Except for me.
You love them.
But, yeah, promoters, if anyone's out there that runs a wrestling promotion, please reach out to us. We're trying to build our brand. We're trying to, you know, just get our names out there. I have lofty goals in this business. And
after the wedding, we have lofty goals.
After we tie the knot, I have very lofty goals when we get back from our honeymoon. And I can't do that without, you know, the rest of the independent wrestling world to support me. So please do so. That would be awesome.
Definitely. So, really quick. So, Smash Funk is coming up. Heroes of Legends in October. Is there anywhere right now that you're looking to hopefully maybe reach out to? Is there any promotion you're keeping your eye on, or in any city, you know, for that matter, any certain spot that you're like, besides the WWE, of course, because you just said that that's what the gym selfies are for. But I mean, is there any place right now you're like, all right, well, I really want to get this place. You know, maybe they're listening. They're like, that's my promotion. I should talk to them.
Definitely the more of the Milwaukee area. Like, all you ever hear about in Wisconsin is great wrestling. Like, you guys got you guys up here have Silas Young, the Beer City Bruiser. Austin Aries is from this area. So obviously,
Tomaso,
like,
Ciampa as well.
Yeah, Tomaso Ciampa. Those guys are awesome. I love watching them. So I want to definitely come back to the Milwaukee area. It's a Chicago area. It's a hotbed for independent
Chicago
wrestling. The greatest of the greats in the Midwest wrestle in the Chicago promotions, and I want to be a part of that. I want to prove that I can hang with all those guys and make a difference. So that's really the two places we really want to focus on. You know, outside, we're going to try to get to Michigan, Ohio, maybe down south some, different crowd, but, you know, we're just willing to go wherever. But, you know, Milwaukee and Chicago for sure right now.
Have work, we'll travel.
Exactly. Have work, we will travel. We're willing to do the road trips, and, you know, they're not too bad.
No.
It wasn't too bad driving here, right?
I mean, I had my books and my Starbucks, so I was set.
You're such a nerd. But, yeah, willing to travel and do our best to bring our brand to your promotion. So
fantastic. I think that's a good way to wrap this up. So, again, congrats on the engagement. Looking forward to seeing what else you guys are doing here. Hopefully more time in Wisconsin. Maybe we'll see you guys more in person. Maybe I can build that repertoire of, you know, being more than all right. We'll see.
Yeah, let's build this, because, you know, I had high expectations. I'm not saying that, like, it was terrible.
It was a huge disappointment.
Not a disappointment. I don't want to say that. But I do, like, we can, it's just something we just acquired taste. So let's build on it.
Let's build on that.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word on about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
This is Jordy Lee on Talk is Jericho. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners. This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to SpotMonkeyMedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerweck.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5. Anything else independent wrestling related, Indie Power Rankings, IPR.wordpress.com.
This is Stacey Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
Well, guys, it's always fun to talk with Anthony Toatella. Hopefully we get to do it down the road. It was really cool to have him talk about how, you know, just that he wants to come into Wisconsin more often because we see him a lot in Indiana. It's kind of cool to know that
we don't see him.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't see him, but yeah. It's great to know that he wants to come into Wisconsin more because of all the talent that's been coming out of Wisconsin. So, I mean, it's cool that he wants to, you know, come to this area more because of that reason. I mean, if that means we could see him more, that's great because he's him and Kenzie are just two solid people to have the locker room with.
Solid. They're not made of.
They're not made of liquid.
Liquid or gas.
Well, technically, there is some liquid and gas in that form.
Technically, there is a little bit of all three.
Yeah.
I think.
Three states of matter make up the human
body.
But
as far as their personalities are not liquid or gas. They're solid.
Nice.
Well, that's what you said.
Science. Slang term.
Science
solid,
joke.
Not the.
Oh, no, we're not talking literal terms.
No.
We're not talking.
We're talking slang. Urban Dictionary.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary?
Yep.
I've been there.
The lit.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
Where I get some of my street talk from. Yeah.
I almost thought about going to the Urban Dictionary for Halloween.
They have.
How would you do that? I'm actually curious.
I don't think you'd be allowed in your schools.
Probably not.
Or libraries,
or
especially
like
libraries. Anywhere. Maybe downtown La Crosse because that's probably the only place that would be accepting of you.
Probably.
You'd probably get free drinks or something, though.
Man, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
get those. And
who doesn't like free booze? Speaking of free booze, we talked about it before we started the show, but Alex, what's new with you, man? You've been on the road lately. You got to see some cool shows, man.
I've been on the road, man.
Yeah, man. Tell us about some of the shows. Yeah.
Not dating life. But, I mean, one thing I do want to say is that we were over at BCW, the Martin Luther benefit for the athletics department.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago.
God, it felt like a month ago.
I know.
I watched Frankie's live stream.
Yeah.
I wish it was a month ago.
Yeah, it was a good show. I mean, it was a nice turnout. It was funny because
don't lean back on that.
Oh, sorry
there
about
you
that.
Go.
So Frankie was telling us in the locker room that they needed 78 people to reach the goal, and then they had 300 people actually prepay. So it's four times the amount that they actually needed to really make a mark on it, and so they definitely made their mark.
Nice.
The main event was awesome. It was we've seen Sierra and Stacey Shadows wrestle quite a bit, but it was one of those things where it was basically almost that WrestleMania like feel where it's just like it was the same match you've seen, but just it felt like there was just more pressure because it was Sierra wrestling in front of her high school and had her friends and family and her classmates and her teachers there and everything, and so it just felt like a different atmosphere.
And Flo Rida was there, actually.
Flo Rida was also there.
He performed.
Little
right
known fact, because he couldn't advertise, he was on an independent show, but he was there.
He was there.
It was Flo Rida, but it was all lowercase.
Yeah. And with a Y, not
he costs a lot less to bring in.
Yep.
He actually cost nothing. He actually asked.
He paid $20 to guest appear on the show.
Yeah, he did. It was funny.
But last week, I was over at Pro Wrestling Battleground, went up to watch the show with Devlin Kane. It was basically the off weekend because I didn't have any shows that I was appearing on or booked on or anything. So I figured.
But you brought your gear bag just in case.
I did bring my gear bag just in case, but it was one of those things where I haven't been to a Battleground show since they were the Cottage Grove Army, and that was back in 2008. So it was one of those things where I've been itching to go up to the shows now, kind of see how the product is and everything, because I remember it being solid 8 years ago, and I was kind of curious to see how it was with like the fresh set of talent mixed with the talent that I was familiar with. There was two spin the wheel make a deal match. It was basically they spun the wheel.
I want to see spin the deal make
spin,
the wheel.
Spin the deal make the wheel. Yeah. You spin the deal, you spin it around, and then you have to build a wheel. It's like back in the old days. So it was cool because there was a lot of new talent I've never seen there before. I got to see Profit versus Darren Corbin in a 2 out of 3 falls match. I got to see Jordy Lee as a heel, which is always entertaining because basically it's Jordy Lee at ACW where he's babyface and he's kind of the lovable loser kind of thing where he's just like, hey guys, I'm just kind of hanging out. Like, he's like, oh, cool, it's Jordy Lee. But he does that in Minnesota and there's like, wow, you are really annoying. It's literally the same gimmick, but then it's just people was booing for it, which is entertaining.
It's great.
Avalon had a great match with Cody Rice. Like, they know each other really well, of course, but like it was cool to see him in Minnesota in that scenario, because like I think when I talked to him at 3TW when he worked ACDC with Mark Prevey when they had that tag match,
mm-hmm.
It was one of those scenarios where like he was talking about trying to get into Minnesota more, and then once he said that, I was thinking, like, man, he would fit like a glove over there. And it was great to actually see that, on Saturday where he did fit in their
glove
like
with fingers or glove with mitt.
Glove with fingers. You know, it fit very well. So it was great to see. It was a good reason to come up to the show because I had a weekend off. Plus, two Jordy and Joey were working on the card, and everything kind of fell into place. It was great. Solid venue there. They were at the Wilepski's Blue Saloon, and like you walk in, and then there's the bar segment. There's the bar. There's a little underground spot like for pool tables, and then the section where they actually have the ring,
like below ground. So when you're shooting pool, you're standing above the pool.
No. It's just like you go downstairs.
Walk down the stairs.
Yeah, you walk down the stairs. And then there's like the stage area where they put the ring. They had booths and they had chairs set on everything, and it had a very good atmosphere to it, so to speak. So it was a great time. It was a thing too where it was $10 to get in, so it wasn't even that expensive. It was you could pay $10, have a good time. TJ and I did. It was funny because this is one thing I want to get off my chest is you know, in the first match, Jordy Lee, Ryan Cruz, which was a fun match, you know, they did the slow clap, so I was like, oh, sure, why not? I'll join in, you know. And then Ian Xavier was with us, and he's like, Mark. And it was and it was one of those things where, like without even thinking, I was like, I paid my $10. Why wouldn't I want to join in on it? Because in my thought process, I'm thinking of, you know, if
spit on Nick.
I did. I'm sorry.
He was with you, so you guys are all sitting by each other?
We're all sitting by each other because what happened is that we saw him outside of the venue, and you're like, okay.
And you guys just didn't fucking walk away.
Well, it was kind of like he already saw us. We're already waiting to get in.
Was he alone?
He was with his. He was with some lady. I think it's like
his mom.
It wasn't. I don't think it was. I don't think it was his mom, but I don't know. But
But maybe.
So maybe it was. But it was one of those things where we kind of saw him while we were waiting to get in. So it was like whatever, I guess. And then he was nice enough to like where Devlin was going to pay for the tickets. I pay for the gas. But he didn't have cash on him, and there was the ATM inside, but you had to pay to get into the venue. So he offered to pay for our tickets as long as we reimbursed him, which we did. So we kind of felt like we were obligated to sit with him at least.
So he paid for your guys' ticket, and then you paid him money?
Basically, he helped us get into the venue, opposed to having us go to a completely different store to get cash out while we were in line.
How did he respond to you when you told him off?
He didn't really say anything, but it was funny because after I said, "Is like I paid for my ticket," I'm gonna of course chime in. Devlin and Ian's lady both helped join me with the slow clap.
Nice,
because they're like, "Yeah, you're." That
or
makes...
did they start their own slow clap after?
No, they synchronized.
Just like,
no, they synchronized with mine. But it was one of
so
those
your
things.
Your clap was infectious.
It was infectious, and I think it was more my words that were infectious. But it's just one of those things that it kind of was it was frustrating because, like, he, you know, it was only $10. It wasn't even that expensive. That's probably as cheap as, you know, most wrestling places are willing to charge you. You know, he was upset that he wasn't given, like, a worker's rate. So, like, he was upset that he had to pay to get in, which is only $10. Both Devlin and I were just like, it's $10. Whatever.
That is really funny.
And then
he's never going to listen to this. So.
Yeah, he isn't. I'm okay with that. He wouldn't react to the
and
crowd
if he's
whatsoever.
And he's a mark.
Yeah, and he's quote unquote scouting talent, but won't support the talent.
I heard he's a kiss mark and a ghost mark. So I mean, what's
yeah?
What's
I mean, if it,
being a wrestler,
he's a Shinedown mark too.
Yeah, he is a
Fuck
Shinedown mark.
Shinedown.
But it's just one of those things that really kind of got to me because it's just like he didn't want to pay $10 to support independent wrestling. He didn't want to support the wrestlers in the ring.
Who does that?
I guess Ian Xavier.
I didn't get a worker's rate, man. Like, they should know me.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
I have my wrestler's business card. Like, yeah. Here it is. You guys give discounts for, like, guys that, like, have wrestled for, like, 40 years or
yeah.
No?
Well, it was funny, too, because –
Wrestled?
'Cause Devlin and I were we were hanging out at intermission.
Here's
and
my
then
ARP card.
And the lady that Ian was with, I don't know who it actually was, but she actually comes up and hangs out with us and she's
on your neck a little bit?
No, she's just like, oh man,
are you wearing the turtleneck?
No, it's not. God. But it was one of those things where she was just annoyed with all this shit. And it's like, you're the one that rode up with them and you're already annoyed with them. So that
sounds like his mom.
Yeah, it might be his mom. It's like, oh, he doesn't do his...
No meatloaf for you this week,
Ian. He doesn't do his chores.
But, Mom!
He's going to take out the trash.
You meatloaf, Mark.
But anyways, I'm getting off topic. Pro Wrestling Battleground was a lot of fun, and I'm hoping to go up there and watch again, because obviously you guys aren't paying attention anymore.
No, we're totally paying attention to the story.
We heard you talk about how good the show was, and
the
then
crowd?
It got to
was
the
crowd
Ian
pretty
part.
Good?
I think the crowd was pretty good turnout. I don't know the exact number, but I mean... It seemed like it was a pretty good turnout overall.
Aside from you being in the crowd, it was a good crowd.
Yeah. Plus, I will say it was cool that I saw the Prophet there, and I haven't seen him since 08, and it was kind of cool that
so
like
basically this is the first time you went there since you broke into the business.
Since I was training, and it was cool because we were talking to a couple people. And then Prophet's over by us, and he, you know, sees me. He's like, "Hey, man, long time no see. I haven't seen you since Cottage Grove." I was like, "How the fuck do you still remember me?"
That's cool, man.
It's cool that you have like the guys over there because like you have talent everywhere in the area that like there's the people that are like too good for anything, and they're just like, "Oh, you're not worth the time." And there's like the people that are just, you know, humble about everything. It's like, "Hey, man, like I remember you. Like long time no see. Good to see
you." You know how he remembered you?
How is that?
Because he's a prophet.
That's true.
Most likely.
He saw the prophecy that I would be coming to. I don't know. I'm done.
What do we got for tape study?
Tape study this week. You know what? We talked about it on the podcast. So let's put it up. Sexy KC versus Zach Gowen.
Nice.
That's our tape study this week.
Nice.
You know, actually, it's a really good tape study. It's like, how do you go about doing your normal offense against someone who only has one leg?
It's a good
especially
match.
Especially when you do leg submissions.
Exactly.
It's a good match. It was a good match. All right, we'll have that up on the Facebook, facebook.com/thegrappletalk. Twitter, follow us at The Grapple Talk for all the latest info that is Grapple Talk. We also do live streams now. So usually we do our shows on Thursdays in the afternoon. So
it's
if
like
you,
every other Thursday, right?
Yeah, so if you like us, you'll get a notification when we go live. You know, join us, ask questions, because this past week it was kind of crappy. AC Riley, close the comments.
I do want to say a big congratulations to Arya Daivari, who's been on Raw at least twice now, and he's in the kickoff match for Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah, so, I saw that. The six-man, right?
The six-man, so, I mean, that's awesome for him. So that's great news. Hotshot Danny Duggan got signed as well to WWE.
Now, the question is that legit or not? Because you kind of see in different conflicting reports.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But if he is, congratulations. If not, he's at least on the radar because he was an extra.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
He did work a dark match.
He did work a dark match as well. Also, congratulations to the Wisconsin guys that were up at Raw and SmackDown this weekend. So Downtown Petey Brown was at Raw. Avalon was at Raw. TW3 was at Raw. Peter Swans and Chase McCoy were on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I might be missing somebody in that mix, but I think for the most part, that's everybody I got from Midwest. Really cool that
the Rochester stuff, man.
And the Rochester stuff.
Benjamin Stacks, man.
Benjamin Stacks
huge
was there.
For him.
But it's awesome to see the guys that we know, the guys we've been watching do wrestling things. I'm not gonna say Benjamin Stacks has we've seen him wrestle
because he's
a man
chasing their dreams in the professional wrestling world.
It's great to see guys that are chasing their dream, you know, get that much closer to obtaining it. And plus, too, it was really interesting to see Joey Avalon without his bandana.
You're calling him out right now.
I am calling him out. But he, in his defense, he did share it on a social media page saying that Michael Hayes told him to drop the bandana, and if he tells you to do that, you do it.
Well, the WWE also told Michael Hayes to cut his hair when he signed, and how that one worked out for him.
Well, as Chris Huffman said, you can only wear a hat if you're fabulous. That's the only reason that Michael Hayes gets away with it. Either way, It's great to see these guys, you know, on TV and you're making their upcoming steps and everything. So, you know, shout out to those guys because those guys have been making a ton of hits here. And, you know, with guys like Arya Daivari getting signed officially, that means that there's spots, those spotlights in the Midwest area on the independent scene, those are vacant and they need someone to be replaced by. And that means that it's just a matter of time before someone becomes that next Arya Daivari that they get signed.
All right.
It's only a matter of time.
My eyeball itches, guys.
Don't do it.
That means we got to go.
Don't do it. Don't.
Don't.
All righty. Thanks for listening to Grapple Talk this week. Everybody have a great weekend. Support independent wrestling and stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by AC Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragnar, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.